So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 6, verse 16 to 28. As soon as Chaitanya becomes the topic, everything turns into kirtan, even the mantras. So, reading from 16 to 28. And you've put 20 on the board because that is the verse which has the purport. Translation. He delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna Bhakti. He explained the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. Purport of Srila Prabhupada. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu is an incarnation of Vishnu, for the welfare of the conditioned souls, he manifested himself as a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And throughout all his activities, he showed himself to be an eternal servitor. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda also manifested the same principle, although they also belong to the category of Vishnu. If Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita Prabhu had exhibited their all-powerful Vishnu potencies within this material world, people would have become greater impersonalists, monists, and self-worshippers than they had already become under the spell of this age. Therefore, the personality of Godhead and his different incarnations and forms played the parts of devotees to instruct the conditioned souls how to approach the transcendental stage of devotional service. Advaitacharya is specially intended to teach the conditioned souls about devotional service. The word acharya means teacher. The special function of such a teacher is to make people Krishna conscious. A bona fide teacher, following in the footsteps of Advaitacharya, has no other business than to spread the principles of Krishna consciousness all over the world. The real qualification of an acharya is that he presents himself as a servant of the Supreme. Such a bona fide acharya can never support the demoniac activities of atheistic men who present themselves as God. It is the main business of an acharya to defy such impostors posing as God before the innocent public. Jiva Nishtarila Krishna Bhakti Karidhan Gita Bhagavati Koila Bhakti Ravyakyan. He delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna Bhakti. He explained the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. Now, I'll go back. What were some of the points before I go back, so we don't forget them? The points of the text were? This text, the one we just read, you can see it there in the Bengali. Krishna Bhakti Karidhan. And Bhakti Ravyakyan. And he explained the Shastras. And then some points in the purport. Ladies. Sorry? Yeah, if they did manage the all the Vishnu potency, then what would happen? How would that become more Mayavadis and self-worshippers? You create a whole tradition of it. And there's quite a big tradition of it, isn't it? No, there is quite a big tradition of it. People, they become prominent teachers and then all of a sudden they become God. I saw a picture of one acharya in Bombay, and he wore a black trousers, a white shirt, and a tie, and he had Anantashesh behind his head like this. He's giving blessings to everybody, and his wife was Lakshmi Devi. You know, is this automatic? I don't know what happens. You become a prominent teacher, and then people naturally start to think you're a Bhagwan. Everyone's Bhagwan. Atiti, Devo, Bhava. Even the guest is Bhagwan. The teacher is Bhagwan. The parents are Bhagwan. The guru is Bhagwan. The king is Bhagwan. The Brahmins are Bhagwan. Isn't it? Everyone's Bhagwan. Everyone, yes, but not yes. We should respect everyone as Bhagwan, especially for us Vaishnavas. We go on Trinada Pi Suneche Na. Every day, everyone's Bhagwan to us. We respect everyone. Yeah. But, yes, the respect that you would give to God, you give to everybody who is superior, elder, etc., etc. But this is Sevak Bhagavan. Sevak Bhagavan means that they are living in, they are Bhagavan in service of God. In service of God, they are Bhagavan in that sense. Savior Bhagavan, they're not Savior Bhagavan. They're not the Bhagavan who is to be served in the object worshipable of all creatures in the universe. No, that's Swayam, that's Krishna himself. But like that gentleman, he became Bhagwan. When we took a member of British Parliament to Mayapur this year, we went into the Prabhupada Samadhi. It was so big. He turned to me and he asked me a very strong point to me. He said, "What is going to stop you people in time turning Swami Prabhupada into God?" And when you're there before this huge, huge temple, and in the center is a big deity of Prabhupada, you think, we have to be very careful about that. We have to be very, very careful about that. That in due course, we don't make Prabhupada Bhagwan in that sense. So I said to him, you see the height of the Samadhi? That construction site there is going to be twice the height. And Panchatattva will be there. Radha Krishna. So it will all be in perspective and in the long term, it will all be in perspective. But wasn't it that when Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, some people came up with this idea? Maybe, was it there? It was in America for sure. It wasn't in England. In America, some people came up with the idea, he must be God himself. And what happened? He left. He left ISKCON. No, he left. And he went to India, isn't it? He went back to India, and he was tormented. He thought it was all over. He thought his movement was all over. When people came up with this idea that he may be himself, Swami Bhagwan. But then, isn't it, when he thought it was all disaster, then Mayapur, Bombay, and Vrindavan happened. So, what was your point? The point that was made? That I just commented on? It was that if they displayed their great potencies, then other people, rather than seeing the humble servants, the devotee, they'll think we're all great human self-worshipping beings. What other point was made in the purport? I'll come back to this after part. Expose the imposters. We always used to do that when we first joined the movement, wasn't it? Try to expose all the imposters. But it's the business of the acharya to do that. And then, what other point you remember? There's one in between all that. Advaita Acharya, and the point about Acharya was the word Acharya means Teacher, yeah, good. To teach the conditioned souls about devotional service. That was basically the purpose. Okay, let's go back. Apani Purusha Vishveya Nimitta Karan Karan Advaita Rupi Upadan Hana Narayan. Lord Vishnu himself is the efficient cause, Nimitta Karan. Okay, Lord Vishnu is the Nimitta Karan. He is the efficient cause. Okay? Advaita Rupi Upadan Hana Narayan. And Narayan, in the form of Sri Advaita, is the material cause, the Upadan. Okay, so Vishnu himself is Nimitta Karan, and Narayan, in form of Advaita, is the Upadan, which is the material cause. Does everyone understand that? Nimitta Karan and Upadan. These, and I'll read a couple more verses and then I'll mention about this. Nimitta angse karek tenho mayati ikshan upadan advaita karina brahmananda srijan. Lord Vishnu is in his efficient aspect, nimitta angse, glances over the material energy, mayati ikshan. And Sri Advaita, Advaita Karina Upadan, Advaita, as the Upadan or material cause, creates the material world. Okay, so Vishnu glances over Maya, Nimitta, and Advaita, Upadan, creates everything. Brahmananda Srijan. Yadyapi Sankhya Mane Pradhan Karan Jadda Haithi Kabu Nahi Jagat Srijan. Although Sankhya philosophy accepts that the material ingredients are the cause, the creation of the world never arises from dead matter. So now he's referring to the Sankhya philosophers. And that they say that the very material elements themselves, they are the cause of everything. Matter is the cause of everything. Nija Shristi Shakti Prabhu Sanchari Pradhani Ishwarera Shakti Tobi Haita Nirmani. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with his own creative potency. Then by the power of the Lord, creation takes place. I'll just say something about these verses quickly. These texts are using the language of Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya philosophy. Kapilas tatta sankhyata bhagavanatma maya. Bhagavatam is Kapila philosophy is there, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, it's theistic Kapila philosophy. Otherwise, the philosophy of Kapila, Sankhya Yoga, was atheistic. Well, I mean, it's not that it was just one monolithic system. There are so many variations of Sankhya. You find Sankhya, some writers, they write proto-Sankhya, and then classical Sankhya. Proto-Sankhya meant that this form of kind of Sankhya itself, Sankhya, maybe some people say it meant originally number. And then it meant discriminating. It meant enumeration. Looking into things in detail, and vivek is probably the word. Vivek. Discrimination. Discriminating. In order to understand something, using one's power of discrimination. And when the main means, like we say, karma yoga, well, the main part of it is in the activity, the work. Jnana yoga, the main part of it is in your head. The intellect, it's something that exists in your head. It's a whole worldview that's developed from Veda Chakshu or from studying Shastra. I'm functioning, seeing the world, interpreting everything according to that specific software. And bhakti yoga, it means that the predominant matter is devotion. Sankhya yoga means the predominant principle that will unify an individual with truth is vivek. This hard discrimination. In Sankhya yoga, the classical Sankhya yoga is based on a literature called Sankhya Karika. And Sankhya Karika, they accept Pratyaksha Anuman and Shabda. So direct perception, yeah, okay, you know, it does work sometimes. You know, I know I'm here sitting giving class because I can see you and I can see myself. Well, most of myself. And on the basis of that, I will conclude, I'm here at Bhaktivedanta Manor giving class. No, just because it's Pratyaksha doesn't mean it's not true. It's faulty. There may be something wrong with it. You may have made a very great mistake. You're still sleeping. You're dreaming. But so Pratyaksha is fine. Anuman, or making some profound statement about something we don't know based upon the things we do know, is Anuman. It's like, well, if we maybe think Lalita Mataji is not in class, therefore she must be cooking in the kitchen. Based on the stuff we know, we make a calculation or a conclusion about what we don't know. Sometimes when you're charging a person in court and you want to hang them, you hang them on the balance of evidence. We don't actually know if you did it, but everything adds up to the point that it really looks like it was you. So therefore, you go to prison now. Sometimes it's wrong, isn't it? Sometimes somebody comes out after 20 years. They say, I always said I didn't do it. And they say, well, it's a pardon. You're pardoned. Sorry about that. Now go and collect your social security. It can happen on the balance of evidence. So it means on the balance of evidence, on the basis of, as we put our perceptions and words together, as the within our consciousness, we add them up in a certain way and they come to a conclusion. And we say, well, that's good. Now, Anuman may be correct. Lalita Mataji may be cooking in the kitchen. She's not. She's sitting behind Devaprastha Prabhu. So it was incorrect because I couldn't see her because Devaprastha Prabhu was very tall. So, therefore, Anuman was not correct. But if she was in the kitchen, then it would be correct. So, they accept Pratyaksha, they accept Anuman as we do. Shabda, they accept, well, yes, sure. There's written words and there's words of rishis. So, they're also good. You balance all these things. You come to a conclusion. It's good. That's their process. For us, Jiva Goswami set the standard. Yeah, Pratyaksha, Anuman, these things are all good. But if they don't add up to what's stated in Srimad Bhagavat, then we don't accept it. So, in Gaudiya Vaishnava theology, the pramanam, Shruti Jai Mukhyartha Kahi Sei Sei Praman. Pramanera Madhya Shruti, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said himself, that amongst all pramanas, the Shruti, the texts, are above all. He stated it. Shruti je mukhyartha kahi, that the direct meaning, not that everything is, the secondary meanings of everything are employed in order to make a conclusion. That is not what the text is indicating itself, or the body of text. So, therefore, Sei Sei Pramana. He said, that's the best of all Pramanas. So the Sankhya Yoga, they accept these various pramanas like we do. But their process of self-realization, so to speak, is vivek. It's not bhakti. It's discrimination. Now for us, we don't care for vivek that much. Okay, you know, Jiva Goswami also writes in the Sandarbhas, you know, where we use anuma is you read the text before, you read the text after, and then you figure out what the text in between is really meaning. It's like, you know, if Prabhupada, sometimes people say, we're not Hindus, Prabhupada said we're not Hindus. It says it in Signs of Self-Realization. You read Signs of Self-Realization, read a few books, oh, Prabhupada, we're not Hindus, we're not Hindus, we're not Hindus. All over it. And then they say, why are you presenting in Hungary, you're Hindus? Because you're just the government's against you. So now you're saying you're Hindus. Prabhupada said we're not Hindus. When the devotees were invited to a big convention in Europe of religious leaders, then some friend of mine from the UK had said, somebody from Europe, from your movement, should represent us, should go and speak. They were invited into a very good assembly of people in society. And they say, we're very happy to have all the Hindus here. And they say, excuse me, we're not Hindus. They're like, what are you doing here? What are you? We're Hare Krishna. Oh, they're a cult. How did they get in here? They're everywhere. But if you look at the greater body of Prabhupada's teachings, and if you look at his personal examples in his teachings, like when there was Rathiatra in London and it was to be stopped, the government were opposing a Rathiatra. Prabhupada said, present our case as Hindus. And then he got the head of the Vishwa Hindu Parishad to write a letter to state, we are Hindus. He made another statement. He said, we are here to spread Hindu culture all over the world. And the person of the Vishwa Hindu Parishad wrote, and he said, not only the Hindus, they are conservative Hindus. So, Prabhupada said, we are not Hindus. And he said, we're Hindus. So just the people who are around banging a drum for we're not Hindus, why are they going against Prabhupada? At least they should say, we're not Hindus. If somebody says, what are you? They say, we're not Hindus, and we're Hindus. At least be honest, if that's your estimation. If you're a fool being honest, you'll say it like that. We are, we're not. Somebody told me recently, Tamal Krishnamurti was giving a lecture, and somebody's put before him, when he was a scholar, they said, so there seems to be some confusion in your movement of whether you're Hindus or not Hindus. And he just said very honestly, we use the term when we feel we need it. Otherwise, we're not. Finished. And they were like, no, fair enough. Fair enough. So it's not so simple. You can just read a line from a book and then go around and beat everyone in the head with it. But then you're not using your... You know, you're not a scholar. You're just a dogmat. What would you say? You're taking something literally. You're not taking, considering the whole body. What was the word you used, Govinda? What did he say?
Bigot.
Bigot. Okay, that's also quite strong language. I'll support you on that. Hands up for that. So, the thing. It's a fool. A fool just takes one line and puts it on Facebook. Prabhupada said we're not Hindus. Okay, now what are we all supposed to do with that? Especially when people do it. When you're fighting a campaign to save devotees in places where they're being persecuted. What does it matter what we call ourselves if we can save a devotee from persecution? No, that's against Siddhanta. That's upper Siddhanta. Let them all be punished. Let Krishna consciousness never spread in the country. But let's not deviate from the truth. What value is truth? In that sense, what's the value of truth? It's not even truth. It's a line from a book. Once I went to see Tamal Krishna Maharaj when he was here. I was living in India. I was very perturbed about certain things in my mind. And I went and I put this very pertinent question before him. And he looked back and he said, if you're looking for a line from a book. I'm not going to give it to you. Because I lived and I served with Srila Prabhupada. I know he was a very practical person. I know he did what he felt worked. And he would change his mind. So, Anuman for us means, we accept it as Pramanam, but we look at the verses in the book, the writings and the commentary, and then the personal example of how the Acharya lived his life himself and how he taught. And then from having an enriched understanding, then we'll come to conclude. Well, this is basically where it concludes for me. So in Sankhya philosophy, they perform this vivek as their primary process. We use vivek in that sense. But as we know, for us, like nasadayati mam yogo nasankhyam dharmam udhava nasvadhyayas tapastyago yato bhakti mamorjita. Krishna is saying, isn't it? He throws the Sankhya out in that sense. Nasada yati mam yogo. You're all these means and ways of trying to approach me, trying to come to me, trying to know me, trying to befriend me, knowing me intimately or truthfully. In all of these things, nasankhyam. Not by Sankhya. Nasankhyam dharma, not by dharma. Uddhava. Nasvadhyayas, neither by just study of Veda or self-introspection. Tapas, neither by tapasya. Tyaga, tapasya means austerity. Tyaga, renunciation. Yato bhakti mam urjita. Nothing is like bhakti. Bhakti is urjita. What can love not accomplish? Isn't people say that? I think so. Sounds good. Anyway, I said it. How about that? It's at least one person did. What can love not accomplish? Really? So Krishna is saying in the Bhagavat that Sankhya Yoga, Dharma, Tapas, Tyag, all these things, oh yes, they're very good, but you know, if you just treat me affectionately, if you have some affection in your heart for me, if you have some kindness towards me, some finer sentiment towards me, Mamurjita, then I'll just sell myself to you for no price. So, isn't it? Alpa seva baho mani. Even if someone's making aparads, nalai aparad. Ishvara sabhava bhaktera nalai aparad. The very mood, the swabhava of God Himself, Ishvara, nalai aparad, is that He is, he doesn't mind when you make mistakes. To warn him, aparad. It's okay. Don't go to town on it, but, you know, isn't it we say, chant Hare Krishna, and all the seva aparads are finished. You don't even have to worry about seva aparads. What is the solution? How shall I counteract my seva aparads? No, just keep chanting. Nam, just keep chanting the name of Krishna. That destroys all seva aparad. Nalai aparad. When Krishna, sabhava bhaktera, he looks towards his devotions. Nalai aparad. It doesn't matter your mistakes. You know, you think for a parent, isn't it? Even just for a parent, don't worry for that. I remember I wrote my father's car off. Crashed it into the neighbor's garden, put it all into through the neighbor's garage. I was 14. My sister was running up and down the street saying, "You are finished." You know, it was those days when we all lived in the streets, in council estates. She said, oh my God, you're finished. My younger sister used to always blackmail me all the time. You're finished this time, you'll see. It was such a big accident, my father came out and said, forget it. And he sorted it all out and he said, don't even worry about it. It's okay. I was his son. The rest of the time he beat me black and blue. But this was such a big thing. You know, what do you do? It was just too much. My father was having a breakdown. He said, don't worry, son. It's okay. He never even spoke to me about it after that. I mean, already I was running. There was a little woodland near our house. I was running to it like the Gyanis. When life's too much suffering, they run for the forest. Everything was too much for me in that moment. I thought, I'm going to the woods. I ran, but my father was just gentle about it. Just don't worry about it. These things happen. Poor man. Hare Krishna. So, like a parent, even like that, isn't it? Prabhupada said, the child gives the parent some half-chewed biscuit. Yeah? Parent goes, nom, 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 thank you so much. That's what you do when you're a friend of the parent. Oh, thank you. Parents like that, well, very good. They don't see the fault in that way. They don't see it. You'll learn from it. You'll become wise from it. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. That's a song in the charts right now. But don't worry, you'll make it. What to speak of a lover? You know, like a paramour. When the lover sees, they see beauty. They see all the faults and stupidity of a person. And they give it a very highfalutin interpretation. You'll say to the person, my God, that person you want to marry, that guy is such a miser. What? He's just careful when using money. What's your problem? That person doesn't have a job. Yes, because they're thinking of more serious things in life. That person's with bad company. Yes, that person. Yes, because they try to help these people. When a lover interprets a person, they don't see fault. They see bhushan. They see embellishments in all the things. They see beauty. So when God looks on the living entity, or Ishwar, Chaitanya Dev taught us, nalai aparad, doesn't see your aparads. Alpa seva, this is a little service. Alpa seva bahumani atma payanta prasad, and Krishna gives himself in exchange as the prasad for a little service. So therefore, bhakti, a little service, what to speak of bhakti? Mama urjita, this is most powerful, most powerful. Therefore, even in that text, the one, jiva nishtarila Krishna bhakti karidan, because bhakti frees the living entities from material life entirely. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said that verse. Chari dharma. He states, by following you can follow the four varnas and ashrams perfectly. But without Krishna bhakti, you'll never be liberated from material life. Sangsar. You remain forever. And I can't remember the verse, sorry. So, this point, they don't follow, we don't bother for Vivek. Vivek, yes, little is required, but it's not our method. It's not our means. Our means is love. How Vivek serves love means, how will I meet my lover? It's a bright, full moon. Therefore, when Radha goes to meet Krishna, she's wearing white, so nobody will see her running through the forest. And when it's the dark moon, she's dressed in dark, so no one can see her running through. This is Vivek in the service of bhakti. Knowing how to dress to please Krishna is Vivek in the service of bhakti. Knowing how to cook to feed Krishna is Vivek in the service of bhakti. Little intelligence, Prabhupada said, wasn't it? A little intelligence. So the little intelligence serves the very cause of bhakti. Otherwise, Vivek in and of itself is thrown out by us. Completely. Yuktastu kevala naiva. It is not anything to base your truth on. In and of yuktastu kevala, on its own. Vivek on its own, you'll get nowhere with that. Maybe you'll come to conclude, as people generally do, well, this is all matter, we're all one. Generally people in Vivek, of course the Sankhyas didn't conclude that, but mostly the others do. Even the Beatles and the Rolling Stones concluded that. In their height of their spiritual rapture, for most of them. In Sankhya Yoga, Vivek is their means. And all this language of Nimittakaran, Upadan, this is all language of Sankhya. And this proto-Sankhya, they consider, was a general spread of Sankhya that was found in Jainism, it was found in Buddhism, it was found in Vedism, it was found in Upanishad. It was this analysis and discrimination about the elements of matter, what they all add up to, what caused them to be active, where consciousness came from. And within all, and the proto-Sankhya, there's a very strong opinions in the scholastic world that it was also theistic. There was elements of theism within it. But however, like the Sankhya Karika and all of these later texts of the tradition were very strongly atheistic. They believed there was consciousness and purusha and prakriti. And like the Buddhists also took from the Sankhya, that the world is suffering, everything is dukkha. That's the first principle of Buddhism. Don't even go there. It's misery, dukkha. And you're getting misery because of your desire for it. So with Sankhya philosophers, dukkha, yes, it's miserable. But these things need to separate. The waters need to part. What is gya or consciousness? What is prakriti, matter? They need to separate. And how they'll be separated is by mathematics. By Sankhya. By discrimination. Now, like for instance, they say Nimitta Karan Upadan. They say the Nimitta Karan, like we'll say in Vaishnava, Nimitta Karan is Ishwar. He glanced over everything, it all became activated. They will say, no, the Nimitta Karan is within the Upadan, the material cause. And I'll give a simple example. What time am I supposed to finish, sorry? No. 90, serious? How am I going to keep this going? So, is it okay? Yeah, you're all okay, you're all awake, you're with it. Okay. The Nimitta Karan and the Upadan Karan, all right. In Sankhya, they'll say, this pot is made of clay. The pot exists within the clay. So the effect is present in the cause itself. So the Nimitta Karan is the Upadan, is the cause. The cause is in the thing itself. So the cause of material nature is within material nature itself. There is no agency beyond it. There is no Ishwar. There is no Ishwar. We'll say there is an Ishwar. The plants don't grow without the sun. The rain doesn't dry up without the sun. The sun is required for everything. We'll see there is an Ishwar. It all needs to be happening. And it's a person who's responsible. The big question is it sheer responsibility? There is a person. They're like, there's no person. But how they differ from the Shankaracharya's teachings on monism, which is in ways perhaps similar. they don't believe everything's Brahman. They believe consciousness is individual. They believe it's a multiplicity, the gya. So, when these terms of upadan and nimittakaran, these are all terms that are used, these are the philosopher's language terms. Now, here, this is quite difficult actually. I'm struggling with this point here. Because fine, it says Lord Vishnu himself is the nimittakaran. It's fine, okay. But then he says he manifests as a dvaita, as the upadan, the material cause. So, yes. Now, the thing about terms is, terms are arbitrary things. They don't always point to what you think they point to. Yeah? Like, the word gay. In India, there's an ice cream called Gaylord. You know it. I think it's vegetarian, that one. Walls is not. Wasn't. Gaylord. When somebody was gay, you'd say, oh, you're looking very gay. You'd say, what are you saying? I'm looking very gay. The words are arbitrary things. They change in time. They mean different things. Isn't it? He's a very gay chap. What? So, the connection between sound and what the sound points to in terms of concept, these things change in time. Kaviraj Goswami is using these words, upadan and nimittakaran, to describe Vishnu and Advaita. Now, it would seem that it could make sense. This is where now we use Vivek. It could possibly, I would propose, that Vishnu, Narayan, of Vaikuntha, is nimittakaran. But then that's undermined by the next verse, where he glances over the material world. Because that's the avatar. When all the forms of God manifest in the world, they are avatar. So, in the next verse, it still discriminates between nimitta angse. But then look at the Bengali. It says nimitta angse, the part of nimitta. I don't know. Sachi, maybe you can explain the Bengali. But anyway, here's the point and how I've come to conclude on this stuff. Advaita is Mahavishnu, and he's also Shiva, isn't it? He's the form of Shiva from the Vaikuntha realms. He is Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is lying, he's glancing over nature, he's setting everything into action. He is the nimittakaran. He is all of these things. The whole, how it all takes place and who all engages in various elements is sometimes mind-boggling, and certainly for someone like me. But I think in a very simple sense that everything we know evolves in matter from pradhan to mahatattva. Beyond it all is the Supreme Person. He is the nimitta karana. He is the karana of all current. He is the cause of all causes. The Swayam Bhagavan means he's not dependent on any other form. He is the original cause of all causes. Now that is Krishna himself. He expands himself in many forms. Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he gives, you know, you read about this and it's very, very, You know where Sanatana Goswami is explaining all the different forms, all the different technical terms. Well, in Lago Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami wrote a small book like this. And in that book, he goes through this in detail. He just goes through this in detail about all the various different forms. And he divides it up very simply. Svayamrup, Tadekatma, and Avesh. Three things. Svayamrup means the God himself who depends on no other form. He's not expanded of another form. He is the Karana Karana, Ishvara Paramakrishna. Supreme Krishna is in Gaudiya Vaishnava teachings. So, he is Svayamrup. Tad Ekatma is expanded forms, which differ in terms of form and quality for Leelas. And you remember that very easily, because another name for Leela is Vilas. Isn't it? It's Vilas. So for the purpose expanded for Vilas, but where they may differ in quality and form specifically for the Leela. But it's the same Krishna. It's time for a story. So, then there is Vilas, and then there is another category, which I forgot the name of. Within that, there's a second category, which means there's difference and the power is less. Okay, simple as that. There is difference and the power is less. These are two of the Tadekatma. And then Avesh means where all the potency of God is in people. And very interestingly, he mentions there, he says like Shesha. Shesha Nag is a jiva. But then he says, the Shesha Nag who Vishnu is lying on Shesha Nag is not a jiva. He says, the Shesha Nag who holds the universe on his head is a jiva. So he classifies under Avesh. So these are the, Rupa Goswami gives these as the three main divisions of all this stuff. And he specifically says Ansa. The Ansa simply means a consistent form which is just of less, doesn't manifest the same amount of potency. Simple as that. So these are just all expanded. The one person expanded unlimitedly. Swayam Rup, Tadekatma, Rup, and Avesh. Simple as that. So, this Supreme who is independent and aloof from all matter manifest, and here in Panchatattva, so Chaitanya is God. Nityananda is God. Advaita is God. Isn't it? Panchatattam makam krishnam. Bhakta rup. Bhakta sarup. Bhakta avataram. Are God. They're Krishna. Advaita Charya is Krishna. Kind of. He's Krishna as Vishnu. He's the Ansa. He's less manifest, certainly in terms of rasa. Nityananda Prabhu is Swarupakam. He is the very Balaram, expanded form. Mahashankarshan of the spiritual realm. And then all the answers from there. Advaita Charya is the Mahavishnu. He said that, you know. Then, Gadadhar is the Bhakti Shakti.